The sermon text this morning is from Psalm 119. I'm going to be reading several verses. They're not all necessarily connected to each other, so I just encourage you to listen. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, John. If you didn't know, Eric Sivney is in charge of making sure the scripture readings happen from week to week and setting the schedule. And so he contacted me this week and asked what the passages were. And so I said Psalm 119, and he asked if he wanted John to read all of it. And for a moment, I was tempted to say, yeah, read all 173 verses. But maybe that'll be for another time. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. And in these next few minutes that I have, I pray that you would increase, your word would increase, and I would decrease. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended for having pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents as exiles and strangers in a foreign land. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received promises. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Now, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to just enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. And by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, were made strong out of weakness, put foreign armies to flight, were made mighty in war. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, maybe even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, right now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, thank you for the massive promises of Hebrews 11 and what it has meant to me in the past 14 months. And then I get to be up here and proclaim your word, not on my own strength, for I am indeed weak, but in the power that you provide. In Jesus' name, amen. So that was Hebrews 11, but we're going to be in Psalm 119, but I just wanted to do that as an example of what I'm putting forward as a call for 14 reasons why I think you ought to memorize and meditate on a large chunk of scripture. So this is going to be my sixth sermon in the Psalms, and the uniqueness of the Psalms is that it deals with the volatility and power of the human emotions and roots it in the truth and the constancy and the sovereignty of God's word. This is what I've said in all six sermons. Proper God-exalting feelings, as your emotions, the things that come from your heart, they find their roots in powerful God-revealed truths. And when these are synced together, God's truth and your emotions come together, it is a powerful motivation for obedience. And the uniqueness of Psalm 119 is that it shows what a heart feels and what a life does when it delights in God's word. How kind of God it is that the longest chapter in the Bible has to do with how we ought to respond and interact with God's word. Now, the last sermon I preached on the Psalms was Psalm 1, which is the gateway into the entire Psalter, into the entire other 149 chapters of the Psalms. And in Psalm 1, it talks about if we meditate on God's word, we'll be like a tree planted near the rivers of water. Memorization of and meditation on God's word is one big way. It's not the only way, but it's a big way in which we feel delight in God. Oftentimes our hearts say, have you ever wondered, why does my heart struggle to enjoy God's word? Why does it seems boring, or I'm just even indifferent to it? I don't want to spend time in it. Why do I struggle with sin? Why do we oftentimes neglect God's word? What would it be like if our church were to be committed to memorizing large chunks of the Bible? The proper response to what we see in Psalm 119 and a handful of the verses that John read is that memorization and meditation on the Bible is vital for your Christian life. We ought to take verses, put them to memory, and think on them and pray over them and meditate on them. And so we're going to be talking about 14 reasons on what effects that type of work has on your heart. And I, in this entire sermon, am assuming two things. Number one, is that these 14 effects only take place in a regenerate heart. So the heart of an unbeliever can simply memorize verses all they want to, but if their heart hasn't responded in faith to God's word, the word of God is not going to have an effect. So, for these 14 things to happen, it has to happen for a heart that has seen the glories of God, the beauty of the gospel, has repented of their sin, and put their trust in Christ. And the second assumption I'm making in all these 14 things, and that this only happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees were very good at knowing the law, yet they were dead in their works. And they would desire the pleasure of man rather than the pleasure of God. So these 14 things are rooted in those two assumptions, a regenerate heart and the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. So the sermon guide that I gave you, there's 14 points. There's quite a bit. What I would encourage you to do is, as I read one or two verses from each of these points, is just write those verses down underneath that point. And actually this week, put that sermon guide by your nightstand and pull those verses out sometime this week and meditate on them before you go to bed. All right, number one. Memorizing and meditating on Scripture is an expression of love for God's Word and hope in God's Word. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And Psalm 119:147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your word. The Hebrew word for law in these verses is Torah, which means God's instruction. God's give us instructions in his word on how we ought to live our life. And the psalmist here has an affectionate response for reflecting and praying over what God expects of him. The psalmist is acknowledging that on his own, he doesn't have the ability to obey God's word. He can't do it in his own strength, his own intellect. He's up early seeking God's face in his word so that he can take it all the day long as he goes about his day. He isn't meditating in God's law only in the morning or at certain points throughout the day. He says in verse 97, I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. And I simply say, how are you going to be able to take God's word into your life all the day unless you're not memorizing it and hiding it in your heart? Meditation of God's word feeds all day, memorization of God's word feeds all day meditation on God's word. The word hope in verse 147, I hope in your words, implies that there's a patience and a longing for God's word to be revealed to the psalmist. He has a deep love for the Bible. But that deep love doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't happen quickly or unintentionally. Unshakable hope in God's word in the hardest of circumstances comes slowly through meditating on God's instructions. And as you meditate on it and as you praying it back to God and asking God to work these verses into your hearts, what happens is your emotions of hope and love are being shaped and formed by the truth of God's word. So Hebrews 11, as I've meditated on this over the last year, it's taken me about a year to memorize because I'm slow. It's worked in my heart a greater love for how God chooses to relate to me. How amazing it has been to me that God says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Pleasing God doesn't start with me doing acts of obedience. It starts with a heart of faith in God. And this has been my prayer. God, I want to please you. It's amazing to me that you find pleasure in a heart of faith before I show outward acts of obedience. So God, would you please conform my heart more and more to the truth of who you are rather than to the visible circumstances around me. God, I want to be like the men and women of Hebrews 11. I want to obey you more, but let it begin with a heart of faith. That's the type of meditation I'm talking about, is taking these verses, memorizing them, and praying them back to God with a heart that has a dependency on his word. Number two, memorizing and meditating on Scripture turns our eyes away from worthless things and gives us eyes to see wondrous things. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And Psalm 119, 37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Grace, God's law is a wonder that we have before us every day. The oceans could not hold the wisdom of God's word. You will never get to the bottom of God's word. And for those who are willing to give their life to this book, through memorization and meditation, you will endlessly find new insights, or your heart will cling more closely to old insights. And you will never get to the bottom of this book because you can never get to the bottom of God. And this type of beholding doesn't happen in a moment, but it happens over time and repetition on verses time and time again. But because of sin, our eyes don't naturally want to behold the wonders of God's instruction. We need to turn our eyes away from worthless things and set them on the worthy things of God's word. So just as your physical eyes can't stop seeing right now, you can't tell your eyes stop seeing, so your spiritual eyes can't stop seeing. They're going to see something. And what are you putting before your spiritual eyes? Is it worthy? Is it God's word, or is it worthless? You ought to say to your heart, look at this. You come before God's word. This is beautiful. God, please open my eyes to see what's amazing. Give me a heart of wonder for Hebrews 11. God, would you please blow me away with the stories of men and women from the Old Testament that had a heart to be able to look towards the invisible as far greater and more clarifying than the visible circumstances that are around them. God, give me a heart that turns away from the vapor-like treasures of the American dream and turns my heart towards the eternal treasures of the riches of heaven. Hebrews 11 has helped develop my spiritual eyes to look on the unseen more than what is seen around me. And it's taken a year for Hebrews 11 to work in my heart more and more, and I hope it continues working on my heart until the day I die. I see Moses, who endured as seeing him who is invisible. I see Abraham, who obeyed by looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And as I've memorized these verses, I've seen my heart change more and more and cling to faith more and more. Your eyes can turn away from the worthless, visible things of this world to look towards the worthy, invisible things of God. Number three, memorizing and meditating on Scripture increases our desire to obey God's commands. Psalm 119, verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. And Psalm 119, 131, I open my mouth because I long for your commandments. We don't naturally long for God's commandments. We don't naturally want to obey them. We find that our hearts would rather disobey God's commands or run in the opposite direction of them. But memorizing and meditating on God's commands begins working in us a heart to want to obey them as we see them more and more. It develops our spiritual heart and grows its capacity to long to be obedient to God. Back in 2014, Pastor Dave asked if I would be interested in running Grandma's marathon with him. And in a moment of insanity, I said, sure. I don't know why. They gave me a 16-week training plan. So every day for 16 weeks, it told me what to do to prepare for marathon day. And initially, as I began doing these runs, I hated them. I didn't like the experience of them. I didn't like waking up early to run them. But something happened as the days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months, and my body started adjusting to the regular rhythms of running. I found that I actually enjoyed the act of running. I saw my time get faster. I saw my body get healthier. And the same is true for us spiritually. You will develop, if you are to give your life over to memorization and meditation, you'll develop greater capacities to enjoy God and to have your emotions conform to the truth of the word as you memorize and meditate on his words. If you take anything away from the sermon, I hope you'll take that you develop greater capacities to enjoy God and to have a heart that longs for his word. Your heart gets enlarged as you meditate and memorize God's word. So let's pant after killing sin, after killing lust and anger and covetousness and lying. And let's long to run with endurance the race that is set before us as we memorize and meditate on God's word. Number four, memorizing and meditating on Scripture increases diligent obedience to God's commands. So not only does memorization and meditation increase our desire to obey God's commands, it actually helps in us being diligent to obey the commands, actually do them. Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. And Psalm 119, 4, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Memorization is the right expression and the right response to these types of verses. God's commanded us diligently to think about what He expects of us to do, and then to actually go out and obey it. How will you diligently and wholeheartedly keep God's commands if you're not putting them before you day after day, and you're taking them throughout your day and asking God to work them into your heart? It may happen to some extent. It may happen in some ways, but it's going to happen in a far greater capacity when it's in your mind throughout the day and you're thinking on it. We'll learn to understand God's commands more because we're thinking about them more. We'll treasure His precepts more. We'll become more aware of when we fall short of what His glory is and what He expects of us. And we'll repent and ask God to change us a little bit more each day from one degree of glory to the next. Number 5, memorizing and meditating on Scripture helps us treasure God over money. Psalm 119:127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Psalm 119:162. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. Grace, God's promises in His word that you have access to every day are worth 10,000, a million times more than your retirement account and a bank account that's stuffed with cash. You probably knew when you came through that door this morning that God is more important than money. You would probably all affirm that. But do you feel it? Do you feel it Monday through Saturday that God is more of a treasure than what your bank account is at? What God has spoken is worth more than a good paycheck and a nice house. And the best way that I have found to fight against the love and hope in money is to cultivate a love and a hope in God's word. Memorization and meditation on what God has spoken can develop our affections to rejoice more in opening our Bible on Friday morning than seeing the paycheck go into our account on Friday evening. Memorization and meditation on God's word can build a deeper hope in the spoils of heaven, 10,000 times more than the spoils of your Roth IRA. So we can say, let the stock market fall, let the housing bubble burst, let others chase after the fleeting love of money, let others stress out about how their health insurance costs are doubling, because our faith is in the promises of God. And so rather, let us have the faith of Sarah, who considered God was faithful to keep His promises. Let us have the faith of Rahab, who saw the Israelites and recognized that they were worshiping the one true God. Let us treasure God's word above the American dream and act as the people we are, strangers and exiles on the earth. Our hope is in God. It's not in piles of cash or in a bunch of toys in our garage. Number 6, memorizing and meditating on Scripture helps us keep us from sin. Psalm 119:133. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over you. Let no iniquity get dominion over you. Sin wants to dominate you. It wants to grab your feet and pull you into the swamp of its despair and its lies, all the while promising you that it offers pleasure and joy. And what memorization and meditation does is it puts in your hand the sword of God's word to start hacking sin to pieces. And it prepares you to do battle against sin and not give in to its lies. What will you do when the moments of temptation come upon you? You can pull out that sword of God's word that you've memorized and hidden God's word in your heart to do battle against sin. So if you're addicted to pornography, you can memorize Matthew 5:27-28. If you struggle with anxiety, you can memorize Philippians 4:6-8. If your faith is weak, you can memorize Hebrews 11. If you struggle with feelings of guilt and shame over sin, you can memorize Romans 8:1. You can go on the offense against sinfulness and win the day. Not in your own strength, not by white-knuckle memorization, but in the strength God provides through a heart that has faith in God and longs to have greater capacities to enjoy Him. So, about 10 years ago, I was struggling quite a bit with anxiety. And the fighter verse came up one week, Philippians 4:6-8. It just seemed like such a great, great fighter verse for what I was struggling with. And so I committed to memorizing Philippians 4:6-8. And so over the next 2 to 3 years, every time I found myself in a circumstance. And it wasn't even very much. It might have been pretty, looking back, they were pretty small, but it created a lot of anxiety in my heart. I started using this verse to pray as a prayer to God. It got so ingrained in me that I could say it, pull it out whenever I wanted. Be anxious for nothing, Kyle, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I prayed that time and time again, asking God to give me peace that passes understanding in the middle of a situation that created anxiety. And I noticed slowly over time, over several years, that my anxiety lessened. But not only did my anxiety lessen, I saw a trust and a hope and a peace in God increase. So that now, the circumstances I had back then, compared to the circumstances I'm in now, are far greater now. And I still struggle with anxiety, but not to the degree I had 10 years ago. And I know I'll struggle with anxiety till the day I die. So the fight of faith continues in Philippians 4, 6 through 8. But I've seen my peace in God in the midst of turmoil increase. Number 7, memorizing and meditating on Scripture helps us fight forgetfulness. Man, is this for me. Psalm 119, verse 67, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. And Psalm 119, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. One of the effects of us living in a sinful world is that we are a forgetful people, and it causes us to forget the power and the glory of God. We're forgetful because the glory of God's laws don't dwell in our hearts as richly as they ought to. So we have our quiet time in the morning. You read a verse. It seems profound. It seems like, man, that's the word for my day. Thanks, God, for giving me that word. Appreciate it. Bible closes. You go throughout your day. And if you're like me, probably you're going to forget that verse. And you get to the end of the day and look back and see the times that you responded in sinfulness and thought, man, where was that? I read that verse this morning, but it didn't come to my mind. I forget the power and the glory of God. So consider this. If you were to tell your kids, this is for kids and parents. Kids, if your parents told you at lunchtime that they wanted your room cleaned by 6 p.m. that night, so by dinner time, your room needs to be cleaned. Do you think you're going to remember to do it? Parents, do you think you just have to tell your kids one time, clean your room by 6 p.m. in 6 hours, I want that room cleaned? Or do you think you're probably going to have to remind them several times as the clock clicks closer to 6 o'clock, you better get your room cleaned before dinner? But let's change it up. Kids, imagine at noon your parents say, at 6 p.m. the ice cream truck is coming down our street. Parents, do you think you have to remind your kids that at 6 p.m. the ice cream truck is coming? Or at 5:30, will they be down the street with cash in hand waiting for that ice cream truck to come by? Why haven't they forgotten the ice cream truck? Because the promise of ice cream is greater than the reward of having a clean room. They don't, as any good kid would, they won't value a clean room as they value ice cream. But the same is true for us. We forget because we don't value the truths and the promises of God's word as we ought. But memorization and meditation on God's word helps us fight forgetfulness. So Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 has been a constant reminder for me in the past year to look to Jesus, not to my circumstances. When we've hit hard circumstances with foster care and with international adoption. And this is what happens. We pray or ask God for something to happen. In the last year with these two things, foster care, international adoption, and the opposite happened. Time and time again, the exact opposite of the what we wanted and were hoping and praying for to happen, the exact opposite would happen. Roadblocks and hurdles and more money and circumstances we hadn't planned. And I say, God, we're trying to obey you here. And it seems like you're just making it harder. Why are you doing that? And then I remember Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. All right. I'm called to follow Jesus. His way was not an easy way. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He endured, though. And then my prayer becomes, God, get my eyes off my self-pity and my self-righteousness. Would you put my eyes on Jesus? Would you give me a joy that is greater than my circumstances? And would you help me cast off my sin? Would you help me run hard after you? Memorization and meditation helps fight forgetfulness. That's a huge one for me. Number 8, memorization and meditating on Scripture gives us strength in sorrow. Psalm 119:28. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Everybody's been there. You've been a Christian for a year. You've experienced sorrows and you've questioned God's goodness. You're going to encounter experiences in your life in following Christ where you feel like your soul is melting. And how are you going to deal with those moments? Are you going to run from them to the escape of entertainment or social media? Are you going to cut people off and just isolate yourself? Or are you going to escape to emotions of anger or lust? Or will you escape to alcohol? God's word is not an escape. God's word is a rescue because it's truth. You were made to find strength from God when your soul is melting from the heat of sorrow. Your soul was made to find rest and rescue in God. You may get burned, but you're not going to get consumed by your trials. Satan can try and blast you with the fiery trials, but God's word is the healing ointment in those trials, and it draws you into his presence. Memorizing and meditating on Scripture is like that application of healing ointment on your melting soul. Number 9, memorizing and meditating on Scripture sustains faithfulness. Psalm 119, 30. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. How do you know that tomorrow or this week or next month, you're not going to just abandon your faith and walk away from God? I've lived long enough now where I'm starting to see other people that I never thought would walk away from the faith and abandon everything. I'm 36 years old, be married 12 years this fall, and I'm just starting to live long enough to see these types of things happen. And I ask myself, when I see these people walk away from the faith, how do I know that's not going to happen to me? That's not going to be me in a year. Now, there are several answers to that from the Bible. There's not just one that we have to hope that we will not abandon the faith. But one big reason is that, is my response, is memorization and meditation on God's word. And so I pray, God, I am desperate for you to sustain me. I want to choose to be faithful and never walk away from you. God, sin wants to cling to me. It wants to turn my heart away from you. So God, help me to put your word ever before me, so that I will be steadfast and have fidelity towards you until the day I die. When I've seen others turn their backs on Christianity, it's a reminder for me to keep the faith, to not make shipwreck of my faith. It's a reminder that the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, but the gate's narrow and the way is hard that leads to eternal life. So memorization and meditation keeps eternal truths in front of you day after day after day. That's what my heart longs for and clings to answer that question. Number 10, memorization and meditating on Scripture gives us comfort in affliction. Psalm 119:50. This is my comfort in my affliction. What's his comfort in his affliction? That your promises give me life. Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Ever thought of that? God, if that be your prayer, God, thanks for afflicting me, because I know I'm going to learn more about you through this. That's a hard prayer to pray. Psalm 119:107. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Your heart will not naturally respond in affliction these ways, like the psalmist writes. I don't by default see my afflictions as opportunities to learn God's statutes. But it's true. And I look back at my life, and I look at hard and difficult circumstances, and I've seen how affliction has caused me to go deeper into fellowship with God, and deeper into His Word, and deeper dependency on prayer. Memorization and meditation on Scripture are of infinite value during times of affliction. You can put these memory verses in your brain during the good times. When the hard times hit, You're going to cling to them like you've never clinged to them before. And you're going to find life in them. It's going to be the anchor for your soul. I had no idea when I started memorizing Hebrews 11 about a year ago that my faith would be tested in ways that God ordained and brought about. And in His kindness, as I'm going through these verses one by one and seeing men and women of faith, and I'm experiencing tests of faith, not anywhere near what Moses and Noah and Enoch and Abel had, but nevertheless, there's still tests of faith, and I rejoice in the promises of looking towards the invisible. Number 11, memorizing and meditating on Scripture helps us encourage other Christians. Psalm 119:74, those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. So here, as you memorize Scripture and meditate on it, your life starts to change. It can be an encouragement to others. And even more significantly, when someone comes to you and shares something difficult or says, can you pray for me? Or you just offer to pray for them. Whatever's on the front burner of your memorization or meditation, you can take that verse and pray it over them. It gets you out of the ruts of prayer, of using the same vocabulary. And when you hide God's word in your heart, it's there to pull out and pray over somebody that's experiencing a difficult time in their life. Number 12, memorizing and meditating on Scripture gives you a right perspective. Psalm 119:123, my eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promises. Like Hebrews 11 said, we are called to be strangers. We are strangers and exiles in this world. Our citizenship is in another place, in the city of heaven. And we ought to long for God's plans to come about in this world. And our hearts ought to find our greatest hope, not in which political party is in charge of the government right now, but our hearts ought to find their greatest hope in Christ ruling over this entire universe as He sits on His throne right now. So when I say meditating and memorizing on Scripture gives you the right perspective, ask yourself, how do you view what comes into your heart and your mind when you hear the latest news in politics? Or how does your heart respond when your neighbor is annoying you and you can't stand them because they're shooting off fireworks at 11:30 last night and it feels like your house is going to cave in on itself? How do you respond to different perspectives throughout your life as you go throughout your week about maybe how decisions on how you're going to spend your time? These are all questions of perspective, how you view a situation you're going into. And memorization and meditation on God's Word helps conform and transform your mind by the renewing of your mind through God's Word. We could so easily fall into the perspectives of those around us, the unbelievers around us, because we're not being conformed and awakened by God's Word. Number 13, so two more. Memorization and meditation on Scripture helps you see what you didn't see before. This is so good. Psalm 119:130. You gotta read this verse. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I have a simple mind. I read a verse and I don't see the beauty and the power and the depth that is there right away. And what memorization and meditation does is it helps you see the depths of the truth and the beauty that are there before. It's unfolding. You start to see more light. You start to see the truth. You start to see the power that is always there, but you didn't see it before. The truths of Hebrews 11 have unfolded to me in ways that have shed more light and have helped me to increase my understanding of God in ways I never had before. For example, I have seen the invisible reality around me. The things that I cannot see right now, as I'm standing here, as you're sitting there, the invisible reality around us has more bearing and is more true than the visible things that are around us right now. That has taken a year for me to wrap my mind around. When I've despaired, I've reminded myself that Abraham was able to leave his home and have no idea where he was going because he was looking forward, not to the city that he left, but to the eternal city whose founder and designer is God. Moses walked away from the visible wealth of Egypt for the invisible treasures of heaven. How does your heart get shaped and respond in that way? It responds and is shaped in that way through memorizing and meditating on the Word day after day after day and asking God to enlarge your heart to be able to see it. Through this, the light of God's words is unfolded just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. This, number 13, has been one of the most amazing truths for me in memorizing large chunks of Scripture. It's like watching a flower unfold in super fast time right before you. What was there, you didn't see. But as you memorize and meditate on Scripture, God's Word unfolds before you, and you see what you didn't see before. And that becomes a huge and powerful motivator to memorize Scripture more often. Number 14, last one. This is the pinnacle too. This is what we're after above everything else for memorization and meditation on Scripture. It leads to greater worship of God. Psalm 119, 171, 172. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. That's the pinnacle of memorization and meditation. We're not after ultimately just piling up verses in our mind. We are not after piling up verses in our mind to have a more moral life. We are after memorization and meditation as a way for our hearts to experience greater and richer and deeper worship of God in our daily lives. So this morning, I've been praying that some of you would commit yourselves to not just being second-handers of God's Word. Second-hand means what's going on right now, whether it's preaching or it's whether hearing someone talk on a podcast about the Bible, whether it's reading a devotional that someone wrote about the Bible or reading a book that someone wrote about the Bible, that's receiving God's Word secondhand. And that is necessary and right, and it's even commanded in God's Word. Preaching is receiving the Word secondhand, and you ought to be here and sit underneath the preaching of the Word. But if you are hearing the Word secondhand only, you are missing something huge in your Christian life in following after Christ. You need to get your heart in the Word firsthand and encounter God firsthand, directly through the Scripture. There is no substitute for that. Memorization and meditation can lead the heart into firsthand worship with the living God so that your soul pours forth praise to God because of what you see in it. We live in a world that is so temporary and fleeting, and memorization and meditation in God's Word fixes our heart on what's permanent, on eternity. The grass will fade and the flower will fade, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. A few weeks ago, I was listening to the radio. This is in closing. And there was someone that was interviewing, the guy on the radio was interviewing the play-by-play announcer for the Minnesota Twins. So play-by-play announcer calls all the plays on the radio. You can hear what's going on. And the guy that was interviewing, this play-by-play announcer, said, "It's just amazing to me how you can pick up on all the intricacies of a pitch. You know, a pitch that leaves the pitcher's hand in a split second, and it's in the catcher's mitt instantaneously almost. And this play-by-play announcer is sitting up in the press box a long ways away from the pitcher, and he can say on the radio whether that's a fastball, whether it's a strike, whether it's a curveball, a changeup. He can even say, the play-by-play announcer said, I could even kind of tell if a pitch is 88 miles an hour or 92 miles an hour. And the interviewer said, I mean, that's just, how do you do that? That's just amazing to me. He's like, that's no big deal. It just comes from watching pitches over and over and over and over and over again. And after time, he starts to pick up on the differences and the intricacies of a pitch. And the same is true as we memorize Scripture. When we're saying verses to ourselves over and over and over again and asking God to show us what is there and the beauties of it, we start to see what we didn't see before. So we're saying it in our devotional times in the morning. We're meditating on God's Word as we're driving to work. And when we're being challenged in our parenting, or when we're facing a trial, or when we go out for a walk, or when you're mowing the lawn, or when you're falling asleep at night, you're saying God's words that you're memorizing. For those who are willing to do this, you will begin to see a wonder and a beauty in Scripture that you never saw before. So I can sit in Target Field and I can watch a pitch, and I'm never going to see it the same way the play-by-play announcer for the Twins sees it. But as we immerse ourselves, as I've immersed myself memorizing Hebrews 11, I've been able, only by God's grace, to see the power and the beauty of faith in my life. So what a gift you could give your soul for memorizing a few chapters of the Bible that you could anchor your life on. If you've never memorized Scripture before, and a chapter seems daunting to you, start with the Fighter Verses. You can download the Fighter Verse app, right, cut out the bottom of the bulletin where the Fighter Verse is, put it on your bathroom mirror or put it on your dashboard as you're driving to work, and start with small verses. Or if you've been memorizing the Fighter Verses, start taking a chapter of the Bible, maybe one that's been significant in your devotional time or in your Christian walk. Start memorizing it. And there's going to be plenty of excuses that come into our minds. We're too forgetful, or we're too busy, or it's too hard. But I'm telling you, God's Word is worth it. Years ago, I memorized Romans 8, and I almost gave up. The first half of that chapter is so hard to memorize. But I'm grateful for God's grace to press in and to memorize it, because it has been so life-giving to me time and time again. So Grace Church, look to Jesus, founder and a perfecter of your faith, through memorization and meditation on Scripture, and run with endurance the race set before you.